You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Over the weekend, South Africa's integrated resource plan was announced by the Minister of Electricity, Minister Hosensu Ramokgopa. This is after Cabinet had approved this last week. It is a 2.2 trillion rand energy infrastructure plan that will see us tap into things like nuclear power by 2042. For more on this, I'm joined on the line by independent energy analyst Tsepo Radima to take a look at this plan and see what we make of it. Radima, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. Your initial thoughts around the IRP?
Thanks, Remahaya. Greetings to you as well as to the listeners. At first glance, when you really read it and listen to the minister, it is a plan in name only, as it lacks the substance, notwithstanding the exuberance by which it was delivered. But it remains nothing but positive platitudes from a rostrum, on the basis that we wish that the minister would succeed in what he has projected as a vision casting. But the IRP, based on the track record gone by, nothing has come out of the previous IRPs, and this one will suffer the same fate, to the extent that there is no legislative instruments that give effect, and there are no measures in place to ensure that it can be implemented and monitored, taking into account that the minister would like us to believe that over the next 15 years, they effectively are going to deliver an average of 4,000 megawatts of new electricity generation per year at a 2.2% of investment or GDP invested into the productive sector of the economy, which of course would have been welcome. But the details as to, well, when you look at during the time of President Mbeki in 2000, the projection was that we would have had demand, electricity demand would have grown to 60,000 megawatts by the year 2020. Here we are in the year 2025. Electricity demand has dropped below 30,000 megawatts, which is half of what was projected to be the demand. And on the other hand, we have seen tariffs that continue to skyrocket, to the extent that we have priced ourselves out of competitiveness scales, a point I have consistently made every time we spoke. And that now talks to the fact that, well, where will the demand come from if we are to build new electricity generation capacity of 100 gigawatts or 100,000 megawatts? And again, there is a mismatch in terms of the grid capacity. There is talk of extending the grid capacity by 14,000 kilometers at the capital cost of 440 billion. The problem with that is that it is all intended to connect intermittent energy. And when you look at this IRP, so-called, it completely or it minimizes base load sources. In terms of coal, it discounts it completely. In terms of nuclear, notwithstanding that there is a seemingly new impetus, but there doesn't appear to be appreciation that nuclear has always got an ingredient of time, to the extent that you will invariably find that any nuclear built, a new nuclear built, will be subjected to the same regulatory regime as Quebec currently is, whereby there are three nuclear regulatory agencies that have to approve and ensure that we operate this nuclear capacity. So therefore, it means that we are going to miss target in terms of bringing that on board, and therefore the grid itself will not be able to carry 100,000 megawatts. So it is on that basis that we are saying there is more questions than actually the minister has given answers to.
Ragadima, let's take a look at how this IRP lines up with South Africa's efforts to transition from a just energy transition perspective. We know we've got those goals in place, and you touched on the fact that we are now looking at reducing the coal dependence. I believe the IRP looks to reduce it from 58% to 27% by 2042 and increase nuclear and gas to 16% from the current 3%. How does this line up with our efforts to transition to cleaner energy, and is this the most effective way to do it, or is this more just wanting to put together a plan?
Well, one just has to have a look at industrialized nations such as Germany, even Portugal and Spain. You got to look at some of the states in the United States. You got to look at Australia. You can see that we actually have got a wrong diagnosis of the problem. Therefore, the prescription itself is going to cause harm than good. We should actually be looking at what and benchmarking with nations such as China, India, and Turkey, both in terms of tariffs as well as the electricity generation capacity that comes on stream. So effectively, the point is that the moment you increase the intermittent energy sources onto your grid, you become less reliable, the cost goes through the roof, and in an era whereby we are seeing that there's going to be increased demand, particularly from new economies, whether it's artificial intelligence, data centers, and the likes, and the traditional economies in terms of processing of minerals, because without processing of the minerals that go into the new economy of artificial intelligence and otherwise, there is no balance, and therefore we can't achieve. So we need energy, that I agree, but it has to be at the lowest cost. Now, the lowest cost has to be achieved through baseload energy sources, and those baseload energy sources, the question therefore should be, to what extent and to what degree will baseload energy sources come without emissions, or be effectively harnessed without emissions, or with a greater degree of minimized greenhouse gas emissions? That is what really we should be focusing on, than to look at what already has been proved to be unreliable and costlier intermittent energy sources. Because as I make mention, remember, Eskom now released their financial results. What they term to be electricity that is stolen, it is actually not the case. It is the intermittent electricity that 100% of it had to be curtailed. Therefore, came at a cost of 14 terawatt hours, which Eskom can hardly afford to have 14 terawatt hours of electricity, which is generated, paid for, but not usable anywhere on the grid. And if we increase intermittent energy sources, we have to bear in mind that we are going to be forced to have to also increase investment in base load. And what puzzles me is that this cabinet and the minister still talk of concepts such as energy mix, which has got no practical meaning and or application in the true, you know, in the true world. There's no such thing called energy mix. What you have to look at is that, yes, emissions have to be reduced. Now, nuclear gives you zero emissions, but you have to take into account the regulatory regime that you have to comply with. Whereas if you are looking at other base loads, gas is not an option for South Africa, nor is hydro an option for South Africa. Therefore, we as a nation are limited. We must do that which is appropriate. So just energy transition is not like a bottle of Coca-Cola that you can just globe, you know, universally distribute.
Certainly a lot to consider from an integrated resource plan perspective. We're going to have to leave that conversation there because we've run out of time. Thank you so much to Ragadima for those insights and for the time. Tsepo Ragadima, independent energy analyst, joining us to take a look at the integrated resource plan presented by the Minister of Electricity and what we make of it.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.